Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome. We're doing a bit of a deep dive today into some stories you might find in The Juice. That's the daily educational app many students are using.
Right, and the idea here is really just to give parents and teachers a heads up, some context on what kids are reading about.
Exactly. We'll quickly summarize a few stories and maybe throw out some ideas for conversations you could have. It's just an overview for adults, really.
Okay, sounds good. So where do we start?
Let's begin with the Hainyu. These are women divers on Jeju Island off South Korea.
Yes. Remarkable story. They free dive, so no scuba gear, for hours collecting seafood.
And they often do this well into their 70s, even 80s. It's quite something.
Yeah, and the piece we looked at mentioned some genetic research. A study compared the Hainyu to other women from Jeju and mainland Korea.
What do they find?
Well, it seems women from Jeju, especially the Hainyu divers, were much more likely, like four times more likely, to have a genetic trait linked to low blood pressure, specifically when diving.
Interesting. Adaptation, perhaps.
It looks that way. They also found markers suggesting higher tolerance for cold and pain, particularly in the Hainyu. The researcher, Melissa Annalardo, thinks these traits might have developed over maybe 1,200 years.
Wow. So for talking points with students.
You could definitely explore unique family or community traditions or, you know, how people adapt to really challenging environments.
Yeah, and what we can learn from people who live very differently. Good angles there.
Okay, next up, we shift gears quite a bit. Staten Island, New York.
Ah, the bodega story. Zach's Finest Deli and Grocery.
That's the one. The manager, Whale Aselwi, he started this thing called Grades for Grabs.
Right, rewarding local kids for good grades. Or perfect attendance, I think.
Exactly. He gives them treats, snacks from the store. It apparently started with like a bet he made with a 12-year-old.
And then it just took off.
Kind of went viral, yeah. TikTok famous, even. People started donating, buying merchandise.
So now he uses that money to help the kids, maybe even their families, with groceries, too.
That's the idea. Supporting the community. There was a quote from a local principal praising how community members can encourage school achievement.
That's great. So discussion topics here could be about motivation, you know, what makes kids work hard.
Definitely. And how small acts of kindness can ripple through a community, or even just the different roles people and places play in supporting everyone.
Okay, let's move to the third story. This one involves President Trump and a rather large gift.
Ah, yes, the jet. A Boeing 747-8, valued at around $400 million, offered by the Qatari royal family during a trip.
The plan being it would be a temporary Air Force One replacement and then go to his presidential library.
That was the stated intention. But the reporting we saw highlighted quite a few concerns. Critics, including some Republicans, questioned the ethics, the legality.
Right, words like bribe and conflict of interest were mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And the big constitutional issue seems to be the Foreign Emoluments Clause. That clause basically bars officials from taking gifts from foreign governments without Congress saying okay.
Plus the practical stuff, like the huge cost to retrofit it with all the necessary security and communications gear, and just the security risk of using a foreign government's plane.
Yeah, billions potentially for retrofitting.
Mm-hmm.
The White House position was that it's a gift to the U.S. government, not him personally.
But then there were counterarguments about other potential conflicts, like the Trump family's golf resort in Qatar.
That was brought up too, yes. So for talking with students, you could touch on rules about gifts in school, sports, whatever. Why do we have those rules?
Good point. And explaining what a conflict of interest actually means.
Or just how leaders weigh decisions that have, you know, potential upsides and definite downsides or risks.
Makes sense. Okay, next, baseball.
Right. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred recently announced the reinstatement of Pete Rose.
Who passed away last September, right?
Yes, at 83. And also other players banned for life who were deceased, like Shoeless Joe Jackson and others from the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
What was the reasoning?
Manfred's ruling was basically that a lifetime ban ends when the person dies.
I vaguely remember President Trump mentioning wanting to pardon Rose for the betting stuff.
That did come up previously, yeah. Rose, of course, accepted the lifetime ban back in 89 for betting on games when he was managing the Reds.
So this reinstatement means he and Shoeless Joe are now technically eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Eligible, yes. Whether the voters will actually elect them given the scandals, that's another question entirely.
So with kids, you could talk about second chances, you know, when do people deserve them?
Yeah, or how we remember people who have done both good and bad things. Complex legacies.
And maybe how big organizations like MLB handle rules and discipline.
Good points. Okay, fifth story. This one's about the opioid crisis, but actually with some positive news.
Oh, what's the update?
The CDC reported a pretty dramatic drop in opioid overdose deaths for 2024. Almost 27% down from the previous year.
Wow, 27%. That's significant.
It is. It's the lowest level since before the pandemic started. A big factor seems to be the wider availability of overdose reversal drugs like naloxone or Narcan.
Do they have numbers?
Yeah. Estimated deaths dropped from about 83,000 in 2023 to around 54,743 in 2024. Deaths involving cocaine and meth also fell.
Is this across the board?
Mostly. Most states saw declines. Some quite large, over 35%.
Mm-hmm.
A couple, South Dakota and Nevada, saw slight increases, though.
It's still a huge crisis, though, looking back.
Oh, absolutely. The context given was like 645,000 deaths between 99 and 2021, a tenfold increase in that period. Increased treatment options are also helping now, though.
But there are still worries.
Well, NPR reported some concern about potential budget cuts under the Trump administration, possibly impacting addiction recovery programs and tracking new drugs. So it's still an ongoing issue.
Right. So discussion starters here could be about why it's vital to find solutions for big health crises.
For sure. And how communities can pull together on tough problems. Or the roles of both prevention and treatment when you're dealing with health issues like addiction.
Okay. And finally, we have the quote of the day.
Yes. From Thurgood Marshall. It goes, "None of us got where we are solely by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
We got here because somebody, a parent, a teacher, an Ivy League crony, or a few nuns, bit down and helped us pick up our boots."
Powerful quote. And Thurgood Marshall, of course, the first African-American Supreme Court justice.
That's right. Born in Baltimore, went to Lincoln University, Howard Law School, worked as a lawyer for the NAACP for many years.
And famously argued Brown versus Board of Education, the case that desegregated schools.
Huge case. Unanimous ruling back in May 1954. Then LBJ nominated him to the Supreme Court in 67, where he served for nearly 24 years.
So talking about the quote itself with students.
Yeah, just asking them what it means to them. Do they agree? Who are the people who've helped them along the way?
And maybe why it's important to actually recognize and appreciate that help we get from others.
Exactly. Acknowledging that interconnectedness.
So that wraps up our look at some of the topics covered in the juice today.
We hope this quick overview gives you some helpful context for any chats you might have with your students.
Yeah. Hope it was useful. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this overview of the juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.